Well, good evening. When Pastor Dan called me Monday, he was in pain, and he said he didn't know if he could be able to be here or not, and wanted to know if I could fill in for him, and I said I'd be glad to. And my mind went to exactly what I thought would be appropriate, keeping with the theme of the extraordinary women that were going on. I guess we could probably label this one tonight the Baker's Dozen Extraordinary Women, because I'm going to speak about Deborah tonight, and Deborah is not one of the 12 that Pastor Dan is going to be speaking about. This lesson actually comes from one of the lessons that we just finished up in our ABF, and it was by Dr. David Jeremiah on 30 amazing people in the Bible. And we did the study on Deborah, and we did that probably in June or July. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to do Deborah, Judge Deborah. We're going to be in Judges chapter 4, if you want to turn there and follow along. Judges chapter 4. And I'm going to attempt to do this with a PowerPoint, and we'll see how the clicker goes. And so it just jumped right there really fast and did it all at one time. So I don't know why that's happening. But anyway, the questions, I'll go ahead and read those questions for you. Is one with God, is that a majority? And do you find yourself facing a mountain too high to climb or a river too wide to cross? Pain too much to bear? An enemy too strong to beat? If you answer yes to those questions, this lesson tonight, or this message, is for you. Again, we'll see how this goes. This thing is fast. It should have... I don't know what's going on there. It should be coming in on different times. The first picture you see, of course, I think you remember who that is. That's Nikita Khrushchev. And a picture of him banging his shoe in the United Nations. And if you remember what he said that night, he said, "We will bury you." And he said that to the United States and to other nations. And he was the premier of the former Soviet Union at that time. And he rose to power in the 1930s, which coincided with the picture on the right. Of that is Joseph Stalin. And, of course, Joseph Stalin began his vicious purges at the same time Khrushchev rose in the party ranks, and he became the head of the Communist Party in the Ukraine, and he was an advisor to Stalin. So some years later, when Khrushchev began to attack his former boss for all these violent acts of atrocities that Stalin had committed. On one occasion, after he had vehemently denounced the deeds of Stalin, someone from the audience sent a note to the podium. And this is what the note said. "What were you doing when Stalin committed all those atrocities?" Khrushchev shouted out, "Who wrote this note? Who sent it up to the podium?" Well, seconds ticked off and nobody answered, and so nobody moved. And Khrushchev, this is how he answered that. He said, "I'll tell you what I was doing when Stalin was committing all those atrocities. I was doing exactly what the writer of this note was doing. Exactly nothing. Because I was afraid to stand up." Well, the book of Judges is about people who stood up. And they stood up against the crimes committed against Israel. And the Bible calls these people judges. And tonight we're going to meet one of those judges. And again, the PowerPoint is not acting right. But you see on the left, that's not the judge we're going to study. That's Judge Judy. But it is the one on the right, and it is Judge Deborah. The Bible contains a lot of stories of great women. But perhaps one of the most unsung heroes, or I could say heroine, is the woman who appears in Judges. And Deborah, the Jewish patriot, is distinguished as the only woman in biblical history who has a major God-given leadership role in her nation. Now, your mind might think right over to Esther, okay? Esther was not an official in the Israel nation. Deborah was, okay? The name you see there, Deborah, means bee. Now, that's really appropriate. Scientists tell us that of the animal kingdom, the bee ranks among the most intelligent in the whole kingdom. Deborah was one of the wisest of all the Old Testament women. And all of Israel's enemies at that time were so powerful. And let me give you who there was. Israel's enemy was King Jabin. He was a Canaanite. King Jabin and his general Sisera. Now, they had dominated Israel for two decades. Now, to give you an idea of what their military power was like, they had 900 iron chariots and over 100,000 soldiers. Now, in contrast to that, with Israel, okay, Israel had zero chariots, and they could only muster up about 10,000 soldiers. So Deborah sums up the nation's situation, and she sums it up like this when she says, God chose new leaders when war came to the city gates, but not a shield or spear was seen among the thousands in Israel. Judges chapter 5, verse 8. After Joshua's death, Israel started a downward spiral from God. They failed to obey God, and they started worshiping other gods. And whenever they were oppressed by enemies, such as the Canaanites, they would go to God, they'd cry out to God, we need your help, help us, oh God. And then they would repent of their sins, and God would send them a leader or a judge to defeat their oppressors and restore peace. Well, that was a vicious cycle that would go on and on and on. It happened at this time with Deborah. So there were military leaders, not necessarily were they spiritual leaders. Deborah's a little different case here. She's a spiritual leader also. And though Israel couldn't come up with a single spear, okay, or a shield, they still conquered Jabin and his forces. Okay, I should have said that's a spoiler alert, so you'll know how the story ends. But how did they do it? They did it by trusting God instead of trusting their military. And so what we see here is that from Deborah's example, we're going to see how she was so successful. Well, author Gary Enwig, in his book entitled Hearts of Iron and Feet of Clay, wrote this. He said, God did a very unusual thing. He did not raise up a great warrior like Othniel or Shamgar or Ehud. Instead, God chose a woman to be the deliverer of his people. Now, those three names, different men, were great leaders, great military leaders in Israel's time. But we're going to find from Deborah's example, God shows us three virtues that we must possess today if we are going to stand up against the forces of wickedness that we have in our land today. And that's going to be commitment, confidence, and courage. So let's take a look first at Deborah's commitment. You could call Deborah a woman of intense resolve. She was appointed by God to be a prophetess, and her commitment to things of eternal value shows up in three specific ways, okay? First of all, she was, you see there, she was devoted to God. If you look at Judges chapter 4, verse 4, let me read that. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippithah, was leading Israel at this time." Now, she is one of several women in the Bible who are referred to by the term prophetess. Men were referred to as prophets. Now, prophets or prophetesses were someone who stood between God and the people, and is someone who tells the people what God said. Now, we don't have prophets today. We don't have prophetesses today. The reason being is that God has not revealed anything new to us because we already have it in the Word of God. And so God has already communicated all of His truth for us in the Bible. So as a woman of high resolve and commitment, Deborah was a woman who was devoted to her God. But secondly, you'll see she was devoted to the family. And this second manifestation of her commitment was devoted to her family in Judges 4. 4 says that she was the wife of Lippidoth. And that's really all we know about Deborah's family life. There's nothing really more that says. In the study, Dr. Jeremiah says, this is what he says about her. He says, "I believe, like many men who serve God, they would not be able to do so without the wife's support. In this situation, God raised up a woman, and God gave her a husband who supported her assignment from God. Because of their teamwork and their commitment to God, they were able to accomplish great things." So in addition to being married to her husband, Lippidoth, we have to go over to Judges chapter 5 and look at verse 7. And I'll read it for you. But Judges chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel." Now, what that actually means, we don't know if she had any children or not, but what that means is being a mother of Israel, okay? A mother in Israel meant that she was revered by the nation of Israel. They looked up to her. And we're going to see why that's true in just a little bit. But what we do know is this. Deborah was a person who was deeply committed, a virtue that showed up in her devotion to God and also in her devotion to her family. And then we'll also see, thirdly, she was also devoted to her country. The Bible tells us that she lived somewhere between Bethel and Ramah in the hill country of Ephraim. And there under a palm tree, that's where she held court. A lot of the other judges would hold court at the city gates. Well, where she was, she held court under a palm tree. People would come to her with their issues and she would preside. And as she heard the people complain about being oppressed by King Jabin and his general Sisera, her heart began to feel with anger and concern for her nation. Things had gotten so bad that she just had to stand up for God against His enemies. The Bible says nobody else did anything. But I guess I could say in essence, this is what Deborah said. I stood up. I stood up to do something about what was going on in my nation. That was her commitment. That was her commitment to her country. I guess we could say the same thing. Or ask the same thing. I guess they'd ask a question today of us. Are we willing to stand up in our nation today, in our country, when we see things are going wrong? Deborah was that type of person. She had seen what was happening. Nobody else was doing anything. So she said, "I stood up." Well, let's look at Deborah's, not only her commitment, but let's look at her. Let's look at her confidence.
Deborah knew what needed to be done, and she had actually heard about a really great military strategist in Israel, and his name was Barack. Not the same Obama, okay? Not Barack Obama, but this was Barack, all right? And so, I don't want you to get confused between the two. But, and the scripture says that, that she asked him to help her deliver Israel from their enemies. Now, I want you also to note, her confidence was not in her general Barack. Her confidence was in God. And we're going to see that as we go through. All right, first thing we'll see, and you'll also see up here, she was confident in God's Word. All right? She was confident in God's Word. Look at verse 4, back in chapter 4. Verse 6. So she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor." Now, if you'll see the note there, I said Barak means lightning. So he was known as a fierce strategist, military leader. And so Deborah actually said to him, "We can do this. We can do this because God has told us this is what we should do." You know, when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. And that's what Deborah did. She knew God. God had said in His Word, He says, as we're going to see also in the words in Scripture, God's going to tell them, "I want you to go. I want you to go defeat them." So Deborah tells her general says, "Let's go. We can do this. God has told us that we can do it." But I also want you to see, secondly, not only was she confident in God's Word, but she was confident in God's will. She was confident in God's Word, but she was also confident in God's will. Look at verses 7 and 8. God says this. He says, God said this, that "I will lead Sisera," that's the general for Jabin's army, "I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." Now, that's kind of a little difference in an answer from a general that said, he told Deborah, says, "If you'll go with me, I'll go and we'll fight the Canaanites. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going." Now, some people will look at that as a sign of weakness on his part. But it may have been. But perhaps it may have been more of a sign of wisdom on his part. Barak knew that Deborah had the blessing of God on her, and he wasn't going to go into battle without her. And so he was very confident himself in Deborah because she was confident in God. So she was confident in God's will. It was God's will that they were going to go and fight, all right? But if you'll notice, she was also confident in God's work. Now, as I said earlier, Barak could only gather up 10,000 men. He's going to go face 900 iron chariots, and that's important. You notice it's not wooden chariots, it says iron. That tells you the strength of them, and over 100,000 foot soldiers. But Deborah gives a motivational speech to show how confident she is in God's work. And we look at verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. All right. So Deborah speaks. If you'll notice there in that verse, it's important to understand her words and how she spoke them, the tense in which she spoke them. She said, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands." has not the God gone ahead of you? And so she is speaking in past tense, is as if it's already done. It's a done deal. God's already given the army over to Barak and his 10,000 soldiers. And so we see that here she's bold in her faith, and her boldness comes from God. It didn't come from their army, because their army was pitiful compared to the Canaanite army. She was confident in God's word. She was confident in His will. And she was confident in what God was going to work out. But she was also confident. She was confident in God's way. Now, how could 100 or how could 10,000 men on foot defeat an army of 900 chariots and thousands more soldiers, foot soldiers? And simply put, as I put up there, God did it. They didn't do it. Deborah didn't do it. Barak didn't do it. God did it. And I want to show you how He did it. All right? Show you how He did it. So here's what happened. There is a, where they were going to fight in the Kishon River. At that particular time, the riverbeds were dry. And it's going to come up and show you two pictures here, I'm sure. But the one on the left, okay, is a picture of the Kishon River during dry time. But when the soldiers of Caesarea set foot into that dry riverbed, and with their chariot wheels and their chariots into that dry riverbed, God did something almighty. He caused an earthquake, and He caused rain to come, and where flash floods look simply like, that's not the same picture, the same area, but on the right, that's a picture of what it would have looked like when they were there, the armies. They got covered up in mud. Chariots don't do very well in mud, or horses, or soldiers don't do very well on that. So Caesar's army panicked, and they ran in every which way. And the army of Israel, what they did, they chased after them, as God had commanded them to do. They hunted them down and killed them. So at last, under the leadership of Deborah as a judge and Barak as the general, the people of Israel were set free from the domination of the Canaanites. I don't know how many of you remember radio and TV personality Paul Harvey. He would have a famous saying. He says, "And now the rest of the story." And so here's the rest of the story. It's about what happens to General Sisera. He realized he had been defeated, and he took off. And he jumped out of his chariot and took off on foot. Now, that's a leader of the Canaanite army. Doesn't sound like a very good leader to me. He jumped out to protect himself and took off running. And he came to the home of a woman named Jael. Well, she acts like she's his friend, but actually she's an ally of Israel. So she invites him in and gives him some warm milk to drink. Well, you always heard about the story, if you can't sleep, drink warm milk. Personally, I've never done that. I don't like warm milk. Now, give me cold milk, that's great. But she gave him some warm milk, and it made him sleepy, and he fell asleep. So if you remember the story, I'll try this again. There it is. If you remember the story, while he's asleep, Jael grabs a tent peg and a hammer and drives the peg through his temple and kills him. So Sisera is dead. Well, Sisera's mother, if you read on in the scripture, Sisera's mother also, she was wondering why her son has not come home yet. He's late from returning from battle. And she assumes that he's just dividing up the spoils of victory over Israel, but he had been defeated, and he was dead. And he'd been defeated not by Israel, but he'd been defeated by the Lord God Almighty. So we see Deborah's commitment. We've seen Deborah's courage. But one last thing I want you to see is Deborah's courage. Here's a good definition of courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but a resolve to trust and obey God in the face of our fears. Let me say that again. Courage is not the absence of fear, but a resolve to trust and obey God in the face of our fears. Don't you think Sisera was afraid? He was being defeated. He didn't have much courage because he took off running. He left. Deborah fits this description adequately. And so we'll see first, I want you to see a couple things about her courage. Okay. Try again. Oh, I did. I'm sorry. Y'all close your eyes and I'll do it again. There we go. All right. Well, she exhibits her courage while engaging a terrifying enemy. It's one thing to be bold if you have everything you need to go into battle. I mean, if you have all the equipment, the best weapons and so forth, if she would have had 900 chariots and 100,000 men, it would have been easy to be bold there. But Deborah stared down her fears when human reasoning would say, you don't have a hope. You have zero chance of winning this battle. And so she stood with courage, though she did not know how God was going to fulfill the promise of victory. He had told her, the victory is yours. All right, I have given you the victory. But she didn't know how he was going to do it. So here's some challenging words from Dr. Jeremiah when he says about her. He says, and us today, he says, if we're going to be courageous today, we have to stand up. Did you know the Bible says that the enemy of our soul goes around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us? Don't mock your enemy. I'm sorry, don't mock your enemy. Satan is nobody to fool with, and if you don't rely on the courage that God gives you, you cannot defeat him. He is not the opposite of God. He's created by God. But he is the most powerful influence in all the world apart from Almighty God. And you better believe that when you stand up as a Christian, you're standing up against a fierce enemy. So our enemy, we don't fight a physical battle, so to speak. It's a spiritual battle. Satan and all his demons. And if you're going to go fight Satan, you better have your armor on when you go do it. Well, she had courage when she was facing a terrifying enemy, but she also had courage when employing a timid general. Remember, Barak said, I'll go if you'll go with me, but if you don't go, I'm not going. But she stood up while engaging this terrible enemy. Barak made sure Deborah was by his side when he went. And again, here's some striking things that David Jeremiah said. What a woman. When everyone else was kneeling down to the false gods of Canaan, Deborah stood up. When not one man presented himself to lead Israel out of bondage, Deborah stood up. When the people of Israel were wallowing in sin and self-pity, Deborah stood up. When a generation grew up that knew not the Lord nor the power of his works, Deborah stood up. When the possibility of victory over an oppressive enemy was hovering around zero, Deborah stood up. When Satan was glad handing his demons over to the fall of Israel, Deborah stood up. When her own husband seemed frozen in fears, Deborah stood up. And when nobody had done anything for God in 20 long years, Deborah stood up. What Deborah did in her generation, we must be willing to do in our generation today. For each of us, a battle line has been drawn in the sand, so to speak, and our enemy, Satan and his demons, he is going to find our weakest link in our defense, and he's going to attack at that point. And when we feel his advance, him attacking us, We must stand up. Now, I don't know your situation tonight, but Satan may be attacking you right tonight. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are all under a siege from Satan. It's good to remember the words of Paul over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." If you don't know what your armor is, go back to Ephesians and find out what your armor is. You know, like the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Word of God. You have to put that armor on every morning when you get up. And so that's how we go forward in victory. Deborah could stand up in a generation of when men wouldn't stand up. And you and I can be champions just like Deborah could be, no matter who we are in this world. God can use us, men and women, in the hour that needs to be. And God has shown us in this lesson, I hope, to you, how to stand up against our enemy as Deborah did. And we must be people of commitment. We must be people of courage and be people of confidence. In our lessons, when we did the 30 most amazing people, at the end of each lesson, we always had a life lesson. Here's a life lesson for us tonight. Godly boldness fills the void when others remain silent. Godly boldness fills the void. Like me. There we go. We're back in there. All right. I want to finish up with 12. Oh, no, sorry. Not 12. I'm thinking 12. 8 practical truths to live by. And they're going to come up not the way I like for them to come in, but let's look at these real fast. All right, here's number one. We are to be devoted to God. We are to be devoted to our families. And I put in there, as David Jeremiah put in there, both maternal, our physical families, but also our spiritual families. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be devoted to each other as well. Well, thirdly, we are to be devoted to our country. Now, we know our country's in a mess and things are not going well, but we are to be devoted to a country, to our country. Well, four, we must be confident in God's Word. You must trust what God says in His Word. Fifth, we must be confident in God's will. Whatever God's will is, we need to be there with it. I always like the study that's done sometimes, experiencing God. In experiencing God, that study, you go see where God's working and you go join Him. That's what that's all about. You join in God's will. Well, sixth, we must be confident in God's work. And then seven, we must be confident in God's way, the way that God works. And then eighth, we must have the courage to stand up against all odds and be strong in the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God as we go into battle. Well, Deborah was a good example of someone who was courageous enough to stand up. I hope you're that way tonight. I encourage you to be that way tonight. I'm going to throw a little plug in here. In this world that we're having, and you're seeing in the news, like North Korea is shooting missiles over top of Japan. We've seen disasters of Ian, and we're seeing, you know, what do we call the type we're in? Not a recession, but inflation. When inflation possibly may be going to recession in our country, you're seeing crookedness in our country that's going on. How do you handle that? How do you live? How can you be confident in a situation like that? Well, I'm going to throw you a plug. We're starting a new study this coming Sunday morning in our ABF class, Early Morning's Disciple. We're studying David Jeremiah's new book that just came out last week or this week, entitled The World in the End. And tells about how we can be confident, we can be determined, and how do we handle all these situations. It's like Deborah said here, you have to be confident in God and put your trust in Him to know that He is sovereign and He is in complete control. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this time to come and to share. Thank You for the example that You have given us in Your Word of Deborah. We thank You for her commitment, her courage that she had in facing the enemy and the challenges that we face today in facing Satan, Lord. And we know that we have to rely upon You, rely upon Your Word. We have to also be willing to put on our armor every day to be able to fight off the fiery darts that Satan throws at us. Lord, I ask that You would be, especially with Pastor Dan, that You would ease his pain and that he would recover quickly and be back with us. And I ask it now that You would dismiss us with Your blessing and watch over us as we travel. I ask this in Your Son's name. Amen. You're dismissed.